Today's shiur is Masechta Makos Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amud. Teaches us the Mishnah Nishmat Abraza Mekitoi. The Torah Gdoisha, when it speaks about, as we have been learning, about somebody who goes to Golus, the Pasuk uses the words Vashiyovas Rei B'yal Lacht of Eitzim, V'nitcha Yod B'gaza Lichris Eitz, V'nashal Abraza Mena Eitz, that the Torah says that if somebody is chopping wood and he causes through the act of chopping that somebody should die, that is a situation where the perpetrator goes to Golus. Says the Mishnah, what happens if somebody is chopping with that axe and nishba habazim ikitoi, the axe gets disconnected from the handle for horag and it kills somebody. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says that is not a situation of Golus. Ain a goyle, he doesn't go to Golus, because as we discussed in our previous year, the times where Golus is not applicable is either in a situation where it's karv lemezid or karv leoinus. And Rebbe holds that this is a situation of karv leoinus. And since it's a situation of karv la'oinis, that's why he karv la'mezi doesn't go to Golus. So Chum hold that this is a situation of shayig, and he goes to Golus. However, continues the Mishnah, in min eitzem spageya, if as he's chopping the wood, some of the wood flies into a victim and it kills him, Rebbe says that that's the case of Golus, and Chachamim, and that's the case that the Torah Kedosha speaks about, and the Chachamim hold that that's a case of Eina Goyla. The Chachamim hold that this is a situation of Karv L'Oinus, and since it's a situation of Karv L'Oinus, again, a situation for which you do not go to Golus. Says the Tanya, Amalam Rabbi L'Chachamim, Rabbi said to Chachamim, V'chinam Nema V'noshal HaBarza, Rebbe says to the Chachamim, according to your interpretation, that's not what the Pasuk is speaking about. The Pasuk doesn't say if the wood and the axe part disconnect. The Torah says about the wood flying off the tree. So your interpretation is correct. Void. And Rebbe continues to say, Nema eitz lamata. The Torah says here, that Pasuk that we're discussing, V'noshal habarzim an eitz, v'nema eitz lamala, the Torah uses the words lichrois eitz, ma eitz ha'omer lamala, when we speak in that pasuk, the pasuk is very clear that's referring to the tree that's being chopped. Af eitz ha'omer lamata, the eitz that's being spoken about in this pasuk is also min eitz mespakeya. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, to which Rav Chiya bar Ashi says, v'shneim, both Rebbe and the Chachamim based their understanding of the halacha on an issue, Mikra Echadarsha. They both learned it from the same pasuk. The pasuk that says, V'nosh la'barzim and eitz. And we often have in Shas, a machloikis, if yesh aim l'mesiris, do we give primary attention to the way the word is written in the Torah? We know the words in the Torah are kri and ksiv. They can be written one way and pronounced another way. And the question is, how do we look at it here? Do we look at the way it's written, or do we look at the way it's pronounced? V'nishal ksiv, the way it's written is v'nishal. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, if the Torah meant to say v'noshal eitz, which would clearly mean that the wood is disconnecting from the act, from the metal part, the Torah should have said the word v'noshal with an aleph. The fact that the Torah did not say it that way, Rashi explains, is an indication that it should be understood as v'nishal, and it's the tree that's in question. And therefore, only when it's a piece of wood from the tree is there such a halacha, not when it's the axe itself. For Rabbanan Savri, Rabbanan Hol Yesh Eim L'Mikra, we follow the way it's pronounced, V'noshal Karinan, and it's speaking even about when the axe and the wood disconnect. Mefarshim explain why would we want to learn this way. So some say that Rebbe is relying, as we're going to learn, on the Gzeri Shava. And the other explanation is that we're not, Rebbe's opinion is that since the Pasuk, as Rebbe's been teaching us, clearly is speaking about the wood of the tree, that, and the Mesorah backs that up, we don't say it's also referring to the wood of the axe. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Yesh Emla Mesorah Sfirle, is Rebbe's opinion that we follow the Mesorah? Ask the Gemara of Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara teaches us in Masechta Sanhedrin, in the beginning in the Masechta, Rabbi Yehuda ben Raim, it's Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva, Kul Israelei, Yesh Em LeMikra. We always follow the pronunciation. And it's important to point out that even though, as we just said, there is often a Machlokes in Shas, of Yesh Em LeMikra, Yesh LeMesiris, which is primary, the Halacha actually is that when we can learn both the Mikra and the Mesorah, then we learn both. Only in a situation where we can't do both, and we don't know which one to do, or they don't come up with the same conclusion, therefore we go, in such situation, we go with the Mikra and the Mesorah. So ask the Gemara, here we're seeing that Rami holds Yesh Em LeMikra, says the Gemara, that's exactly why Rebbe said to the Chamim Va'oid. That's why he had to give another reason, because he did not want to rely on the Mesorah alone. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa Manda Shadi Pisa Ladikla. If somebody throws a piece of earth at a tree, that's the way Rashi learns. Others say that speaking about throwing a stone at a tree. Vasa Tamri, and the dates of the tree fall. Vasa Tamri Vakatl, and they kill somebody. Banal Machlaikas Drebi Rabbanan. That will be a situation of a machlokes of Rebbe in the Rabbanim. That's the same as what we learned in the Mishnah, the second case of the Mishnah. This, according to Rebbe, will be the situation with a Zechiv Golos. And this is because Rebbe holds that this is considered koichoi. What happened here was considered a direct result of the perpetrator. And since it's considered a direct result of the perpetrator, it's considered koichoi. And the Rabbanim hold that this is the case that is not considered, it's considered like we learned in the Mishnah, Karv La'inus. Ask the Mapshita, what we just said is obvious, what's the Chiddush? Answers the Gemara Madatayma, that this maybe should be considered Koichai Koichai Damei, that's a second generation of Koyach. And if that's a second situation of Koyach, even Rebbe would agree, because the case of the Mishnah is where somebody's chopping wood, and the wood that he's chopping flew and hurt somebody. In the case that we're learning, it isn't that the wood that he's chopping killed somebody. He threw a piece of stone, and that hit the wood. Ella, says the Gemara, so what will be the case of Koich Koich LeRebbe Hech Mishkach's law, that there won't be any Golos? Answers the Gemara, it'll be in a case, Kegoyin the Shodda Pisa, where somebody threw wood at the tree, Umachi Lagarma, and it hit a branch that was holding dates, and then Ozil Garma, and then that piece of wood, Umachi Le Chasa, caused the dates to fall down. Vasu Tamri, the Ozil Tamri Vakotl, and that's what caused the dates to fall down. So it's the stone to the branch to the dates that actually did it. And that, even Rebbe will agree, is considered the machlokes of Rebbe and the Rabbanan in this case, according to many Rishonim, is how does the halacha view koichai? Does halacha view koichai as an extension of my hand? And if the halacha views koichai as an extension of my hand, only by koich koichai will I potter? Or do we say that koichai is not really an extension of my hand? And if koichai is not directly an extension of my hand, therefore the halacha will be, it's only considered like koich koichai, says the Rabbanan, and there's no golos. Says the Mishnah Zarek Evan L'Shus Rabbim, if somebody throws a stone into L'Shus Rabbim, for Horeg, and it kills somebody there, B'Shoigig, Hareza Goyla, that's a case where the perpetrator goes to golos. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Eimer, Im Mishyotz Evan Miyodai, if only after the stone left the person who threw its hand, Hoitzi alos roisha, the kibla, that somebody else only then stick out his head. So when he threw the stone, that victim wasn't there altogether. Then it will not be then the halacha is that is potter. Again, says the Rishonim, that the only case that he'll be chayiv is if it was done derech yirida, going back to what we discussed in our previous year. You only go to Golis if it was done derech yirida, that as the stone was going down, it hit somebody. The Rishonim, Tosfos points out, we learned the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama. The Gemara discusses in Masechta Baba Kama that somebody who threw a stone in a Shus Rabim, there the person is chayiv for doing damage. Why over here would it be different? So Tosfos answers, over there, it's certain, the damage that you're going to do is more certain. Here, it's more like an oinus, and that's why it's not the same. Zarak Evan L'chatzeroi, if somebody threw a stone into his own chatzer for harag, and he killed somebody, im yesh rishus l'nizik l'kanisham, if the person who got hit was allowed to be there, then the person who threw it, goyla, v'mlav, but if the person who got hit is not, doesn't have permission to be there, ain't a goyla. Shenema, because the Torah, as we read earlier, when it introduces the parasha of Golus, says, v'ashiro yov esrei b'yar. What is a yar? Yar is a forest. It's an open place. Ma yar is an area that reshus l'nizik l'mazik l'konesham. Af kol, in order to be chayiv Golus, there has to be a place reshus l'nizik l'mazik l'konesham. They both have the right to be there. Yatsa chatzah balabayis, when we're talking about somebody's private property, she'en reshus l'nizik l'konesham, the nizik doesn't have the right to be there. Why is the halacha that when somebody has permission to be in the perpetrator's grounds, does he go to Golus? Tosfos answers that Tosfos' question is, as we keep on learning in our shiurim, that why should this not be considered a case of karav lemezid? If the perpetrator gave permission to the victim to be there, so he should have known that it's quite possible that the victim is going to be there. And if he should have known that it's possible that the victim should be there, then throwing the stone is karav lemezid. So Tosfos answers that it's not that he gave him a general permission, you may enter my property, but it wasn't given in a way that there's an expectation that he's going to be there. And since there's no expectation, even though he has permission, there's really no expectation that he will be there, that's why it's considered a shogeg. The Ravid gives a different explanation. He says that here we're speaking about a case that the person who owns the chatzar, who's the one that threw the stone, never saw this person walk in there. Since he never saw this person walk in there, he didn't assume that even though he had permission to be there, he didn't assume that he was there. So we can't call him an oinus, but we can't call him a karav lemezid. He's called a shogeg. Abishol Omer, Abishol continues explaining that pasuk. Ma tovus eitzim rishus, that with the case that we speak about here is that the person is chopping wood, but there's no obligation to chop wood. Af kol rishus, the chiyuv golus is only when somebody is doing something which he's not obligated to do, which comes to teach us, yotza ha'av ha'makas b'noi, if a father is hitting a son, which we're going to learn in our shir, there's a mitzvah involved with that, v'shlich bezdin, who was appointed to give malchus to somebody, and as he was giving malchus to this individual, this person to whom he was giving malchus, unfortunately got hurt, and these cases, the halacha will be that he's doing what he did with permission, and it won't be considered, he won't even be chayiv golus. So again, Rashi explained that, as we just said, that it's talking about somebody who is appointed to give malchus. The Rambam says it's not speaking about somebody who was asked by Bezdin to give malchus. Why? He says it's talking about that the Bezdin sent a shliach to someone to summon somebody to Beis Din, and that person was the refused, and the shliach hit him as he has a right to do so, and that's when this accident hit him. The Ravid explains that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the shliach Beis Din gave more malchus than he was supposed to. So even though he did the wrong thing, since he's a shliach Beis Din, he doesn't go to Golus. And the question comes up, from here we see that in any situation where a person who's doing what he's doing was a shliach Beis Din, was doing it as a mitzvah, he doesn't go to Golus. There are a number of situations that the Pesach can discuss regarding doctors and nurses. What would be if a doctor gave a patient, as he was doing the treatments, the wrong medicine or the wrong treatment, and the person died? Would he be chayv golus? The halacha is that he wouldn't be chayv golus. It's like what we're learning. He's a shliach Beis Din. Although the person, and this is a general rule, should do tshuva. Because there's a rule that says, Magalgans chusay de zakai v'choyva de chayiv. If somebody was the reason why somebody was hurt, it's a reason that he should be thinking about. If a doctor made a wrong diagnosis, and it was a situation not that he made that wrong diagnosis because he didn't do everything he was supposed to be doing. Moreover, if there was what a doctor is supposed to be doing is try to consult another doctor. But if there was no other doctor to consult, etc., and he made a mistake, then that's certainly considered a oinus. A doctor who had a patient coming to him, and they gave him anesthesia, and the doctor did the surgery. The halacha is, but during that procedure, it was done under pressure. In emergency situations, the patient couldn't make it because it was just all the pressure. The halacha is that he's not chayiv golus. Not only is he not chayiv golus, we have to be most careful with such a situation, that because if we're going to be strict in such a situation, the halacha speaks about this, then nobody's ever going to take care of a very sick patient under emergency situation. And therefore, the person didn't do anything wrong. If somebody was driving an ambulance and he's driving quickly, the halacha, and there was an accident because he was driving that way, again, he is potter. Because that is what happens when you're in an emergency situation, and therefore the person is not chayiv. If the doctor did what he was supposed to do, and the patient did not follow instructions properly, so even though it may be also because of what the doctor did, but since the patient was contributing factor, then there's certainly no obligation on the doctor. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah say that if somebody throws a stone into the Rishus Rabbim, is there golus? Why is it not considered, ask the Gemara, Mezeru? It should be considered a Mezeru. He threw the stone right into the Rishus Rabbim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, but Besoy says Kaisloi. It's speaking about a situation where somebody is demolishing his wall, and as he's demolishing his wall, it fell down. The Ramban says that we shouldn't look at this as amazing. But as we've been learning throughout our shurim, there are different categories. And there's a karv loinus, shaygig, and karv lamezid. Gemara's question is that it should be considered karv lamezid, but not amazed. But ask the Gemara, why are we saying that demolishing your wall, you're considered a shaygig? Shouldn't you check before you demolish your wall if there's anyone there? Says the Gemara, it's speaking about Besoysa Kaisla. Belaila is doing it by night where you couldn't see. But ask the Gemara, Belaila Nami, but you didn't assume that there are people there. But ask the Gemara, Belaila Nami, Ebaila Leyune. Even at night, there's always a possibility that somebody's there and you should have checked before you demolish your wall. Says the Gemara, besides this kaisel ashba, you threw it down next to a garbage dump.
So ask the Gemara, Hay Ashba Hechi Dami, what is the case of this garbage dump? Ishchicha by Rabbim, if there are many people in this area, Peshayahu, then this person who throws down his wall under such circumstances should be considered a Peshaya if there are people walking there. Vila Ishchicha by Rabbim, and people don't normally walk by the garbage dump, so that should be considered an Oinus. Answers the Gemara, it's a garbage dump where people go to use the bathroom there at night, but not by day. But under certain circumstances, somebody will use it even by day. So therefore, so the person who demolished his wall next to such a garbage dump cannot be called a Pesheya. As we just said, it's really not meant to be used by day. But oinus nami lahavi, we can't call him an oinus either. There are people that go there. Says Taisvis, at this point of the Gemara, we're no longer explaining our Mishnah about somebody who's demolishing by day or somebody who threw a stone by day, because we're going to explain that speaking strictly about such a situation, this type of a garbage dump. The Shita Mekabetza says that why is it necessary to say that people use it by night? The fact that it's not used by day is the cogent point. So he says that the Gemara just meant to say that this is quite common. There were places that were used by night, not by day. Furthermore, but then the Shita says a very bechidish. The Shita Mekabetzis wants to suggest that if it's a place that's never used on a regular basis, and it's only used, whether it's by day or by night, on an infrequent basis, then we can't call it a situation that we need to be concerned about. The only time we need to be concerned, says the Shita, is in a place where it's used sometimes on a regular basis. But if it's a place that's never used on a regular basis, then it's a place that would be considered a oinus. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov said, it depends when this person stuck his head out. Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, v'noshem abazim an eitz, u'motza sri'eyu v'meis, u'motza, the Mishnah used, the Pasuk used the word u'motza, prat l'mamtzi es atzmai, that the person put himself into this situation. What does it mean that he put himself into that situation? That he went to that place when the stone was already on the way down. And why would be the halacha in such a situation of paying damages? So the Rambam's opinion is that the person who threw the stone would not be chayv for any damages. The Torah disagrees. And the Torah says that even though, as we've learned so many times, the halacha is when somebody damages someone else, there are five payments. Nezek tzar, ripui sheves boishes. He says in this case, there would only be nezek, not anymore. Tana bonan, motza problem amtsis atzman. Karam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Im mishiyotza evim yodai. After the person threw the stone, hoitzi alos roisha, this person stuck at his head, the kibla, and it hit him, then the person will be potter. And the question, the Pnei Yeshua makes the point, why did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov make his comments by the Mishnah? Why did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say his halacha on the Mishnah only on the Braisa? So he says that there's a slight difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah speaks about a case where somebody throws stone into Rosh Hashanah. And there, the halacha is that the person who does the damage is chayiv at least for damages. Whereas where he threw it to a place which is not a Rosh Hashanah, and there was nobody there at that time, then the person who threw it will be entirely potter. Lememra, says the Gemara, the matzah, that when the Pasuk uses the word matzah, the matzah ba means that the person, the victim, was there from before. The Mikara Mashma, Vermini, asked the Gemara, The Torah HaKadosh speaks about the halacha of somebody who sells property in Eretz Yisrael, which is called a stei achuza, a property they got in inheritance from his forefathers, not just the property that he bought. The halacha is that such a sale is only valid up to Yovel. By Yovel, it returns to his owners. But if before Yovel, the seller of this property wants to buy back the property, the halacha is that the buyer has to take the value and give it and sell it back to him. The way the value is determined is about how many years there are to Yovel. But the Mishnah teaches, the Braisa teaches us that what does that mean? The person sold the property because he needed cash. And now he has the cash, so the halacha is he could buy it back. But matzah prat lematzli, if the person didn't, only if he didn't have the money to buy it back, but if the person had the money and he sold it anyway, and now he wants to buy it back, that's not an acceptable reason that the buyer has to sell it back to him. Or, shloyimtza barachot v'yigo b'karov, if somebody has multiple properties and he wants to buy back the closer property that he had sold and sell off the further property that he has. Or, barav v'yigo b'yofa, the property it sold was a better quality, so he'll sell off the bad quality to get back the good property. All of these situations, umatzah, he had the property already there at that point, and that's why it's not called a matzah kadei gulasai. So we see that the word matzah means that something that was the situation, when matzah kadei gulasai, when can he buy back when there's a new situation? So how do we understand the psukim? Here we say matzah is that it was there before. And here we say matzah means when it only happened later. Amar Rava. Says Rava, that's not a question. We always explain a word in a pasuk in context. When we speak about buying the property back, and the seller says v'siga yada matzah v'siga yada, so the pasuk says v'siga yada, he got an infusion of capital or matzah. What does v'siga yada mean? That now he got this infusion of capital mehashtam. So af matzah means that now he got this money, not from before. But when we speak about the pasuk by the chi of Golus, hacham inyana dekra, what does the pasuk say? Ashiyove sireyu biyar umatza. Umatza dum de yar. Ma yar mida de isimi kara. It was there, the yar was there from before this episode occurred. Af matza nami ma mida de isimi kara. It's only if the victim was there, only if the victim was there from before. And if he came later, as we just finished learning, there wouldn't be a chiyuv galus. Hazarik seven. So we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody throws a stone, it makes a difference under what circumstances. Was it a circumstance that he just threw a stone? Or was it in a person who was doing a mitzvah? Why do we say that when the pasuk speaks about chopping wood, it's speaking about a situation where the person is just chopping wood? Maybe the pasuk is speaking about somebody who's chopping wood to build a sukkah. Or somebody's chopping wood to build a sukkah. A sukkah or eitzim was there. It's a mitzvah he's doing. And the Torah is telling us that even though he's involved in doing a mitzvah, still, if he killed somebody, legally he goes to galus. Amalei, kiven de matzah chotav. Lav mitzvah, why would it be an halacha of somebody who already has wood to build a sukkah, or somebody who has wood to make for the mizbeach? There would be no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to chop wood for the sukkah specifically, or for the mizbeach specifically. We need to have wood. And therefore, since it's not something that is obligated to happen, we don't have to do it. That's why it's not considered a mitzvah. Eisa Ravina L'Rava, the Mishnah said, Yotza Maka, have a Makas B'nai, a father who hits a son, V'Rav HaRoides Tamidai, all of these are considered mitzvah shlich bezdin. Lema, says the Gemara, Kivin D'Ilogomer. So we're saying it's a mitzvah because the father was getting his son to learn. And what would be if Baruch Hashem, he has a Talmud who's a good Talmud and doesn't need the patch to learn? Kivan de Logomer, Lav Mitzvah, it wouldn't be a Mitzvah. If you're saying anything which is not absolutely obligatory, is not a Mitzvah, Hashtanamile Mitzvah, says the Gemara Chiddush. Hossam, even if you have a student, the Gomer, that is learning, still there's a Mitzvah at times to hit him. The Miksiv, the Pasuk says, if you hit your son, he will turn out good. You will have nachas from him. It says the Gemara, then Rava retracted. He said, what I said, that chopping wood is for tzukkah is not a mitzvah, for the mezbech is not a mitzvah. There the rich halach is, the pasuk says asher. It's in a situation where it's obligated to do. If it's a mitzvah, so we have to say that the pasuk must be speaking about a case where it's not something that's not something that you're obligated to do. So according to Rava, at this point, says Taisushans, the person who's chopping wood for a sukkah or for a mizbeach is doing a mitzvah, and it would not go to galus. Says the Gemara, or ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Adi bar Hava l'Rava. So Rav Adi bar Hava now asks Rava, do you want to say the kol echad ksiv asher? Wherever the Torah says asher, it means something they buy you. Elamat v'isha shi'itma v'lo yischata. V'nichrasa nefeshim b'toicha kol kesmigdash Hashem timei. Somebody who was tamei and went into the base of Migdash, the halacha is chayiv. Ask the Gemara, are we going to say the word ashiyitma means iboy mitma, iboy loy mitma, that he had a choice? Says the Gemara, how do we say that? But what would that mean, for example, that only somebody who had a choice to become tamei or not, if he becomes tamei, may not enter the base of Migdash, and if he enters the base of Migdash, he's going to be chayiv chorus. Does that mean b'leis mitzvah, a meis mitzvah that doesn't have that option, hachinami de potter, would you say that he's not chayiv karis? If he indeed became tamei because he had to, but now he's tamei, so what would you say? Answers the Gemara, shani hasam. You can't ask. So how, you can't ask question from that pasuk. The kama kra, the pasuk says tameiya mikomakim. That the pasuk is telling us that even if he wasn't obligated to say to be tamei, even though he wasn't obligated to become, he was obligated to become tamei. At the end of the day, the pasuk is saying if he's tamei, he may not enter the base of Migdash, and if he enters the base of Migdash, he'll be chayiv karis. The Ritva asks, there's another place that the Gemara could have asked. The pasuk says ashenosi yechta, and there it doesn't mean again that he had the choice to do an avera or not. So says the Ritva, the reason the Gemara did not choose to ask a question from that pasuk, because that pasuk has a very special limud. The limud of that pasuk is Ashrei Hador, great is it, praiseworthy is it, that if the Nasi does an Aveira and Misvadeh, he admits to his Aveira. So it's an entirely different limud, not to be connected to what we're saying. Says the Gemara, the Yia, that we're saying that there the Torah is teaching us that even if the person was obligated to become tamei, he may not enter the base of Migdash. Homi bar lechatanya, that yia, and that's what we're learning from the word yia, but don't we need the word yia to teach us tamei yia? The rabbis tful yoim, that if somebody became tamei and he went to the mikvah until the night comes, until Harav Shemesh comes, he's considered a tful yoim. And if he enters the base of Migdash prior to that, he'll be chayiv kares. Tamasabai is coming to teach us L'Rabbis Mechusel Kippurim. Sometimes you have a person who's Tamei, and besides the Kabbonis, besides that he has to go to the mikveh and wait, as we just learned, Harav Shemesh, he also has to bring Kabbonis. So it's not available for this limud. Amalei, so Rav responds, Anami Oid Kamina. I learned from the word Oid Tumasabai. The word Oy is superfluous, and the Torah is teaching us with that word that if the person is Tamei, whether he was obligated to become Tamei or not, now that he's Tamei, he may not enter the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei, Ikka de Maslo, but some learn this entirely minaha. The pasuk says, "Shesh yom tavid ubiyam shvi tishbais becharish ubecharetz ubekaser tishbais." And as machlokes tanoim, what does the Torah mean with the words becharetz ubekaser tishbais? Says Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk is telling us, the pasuk is speaking about not Shabbos, but rather it's speaking about Shemitah. Kivayma enetzarach loyma charish al shviyas v'katzar shal shviyas. And furthermore, it can't be talking about the what's doing in the Shemitah year itself. Shrei kvar nemar, the Torah tells us explicitly, sot chalei sizra v'kamer chalei sizra. El afir charish al erish shviyas shenechtot al shviyas. The Torah is teaching us about the charish of the year before Shemitah going into the Shemitah year. And the katzel shal shviyas yotzel matzah shviyas, that if there were fruits and vegetables that grew in the Shemitah year, and they are only cut in the year after, they have in them kedusha shviyas. Rabbi Shmuel says that the pasuk is actually talking about Shabbos. Ma charish rishos, the charisha that the Torah says that we may not do in the Shabbos. The Shemit is plowing, my personal plowing, I'm working my field. Af katzer rishus. What may we not do on Shabbos? Just cutting something on Shabbos. Yotzek tzirem oimer. The halacha is that on the first day of Pesach, they would cut new barley from the new grain to make a saw of barley flour. And that was brought on the second day of Pesach as the carbon oimer. And after the carbon oim is brought, we're allowed to eat the chadash. Ma charish rishus, af katz rishus. Yotzik tzir oimer. Now, if that comes out on Shabbos, shu mitzvah, and that the halach is that we would be allowed to do this even on Shabbos. What will Rabbi Kiva hold? So sort of Ritva says, it could well be that Rabbi Kiva will hold that you're not allowed to cut the Omer on Shabbos, and if that's when you're supposed to cut it, prepare it from before Shabbos. Or he'll say, I agree it may be cut on Shabbos, but I hold that I know that from Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and I don't need a pasuk to teach you that. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel says that the pasuk speak about Charisha to Rishos. Amalei Omer Rabbanu L'Rova, my Charisha Rishos, why do we say that the pasuk is speaking specifically about plowing, which is not something which is a mitzvah? Maybe the pasuk is speaking about cutting, plowing the field from which we're going to get the barley for the oimer, the mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. And still, the Torah says that tishbois, that even though it's a mitzvah, the halacha is that we should not do it on Shabbos. Amalei says, Rava, we can't say that Charisha is a mitzvah, because there's no specific mitzvah that we have to do. There's no specific mitzvah that we have to do Charisha for the Omer. What's the proof? What would be the matzah? If somebody already found barley, matzah charish, ain't a charish. So that's why it's not a mitzvah. Eserina Rava. So Ravina asks Rava the following question. We learned in our Mishnah, Yotzav Hamakas Benoi, if a father hits a son, the Ravaroi, this Talmidoi, the Shliach Bezdin, that they're all considered a mitzvah, and therefore the people who would kill somebody on those circumstances would not go to Golus. Amai Lema Kim Dil Gomer. If the student would have learned well, he wouldn't need to get hit in Slav Mitzvah, so therefore it should not be considered a mitzvah, and why is he exempt from Golus? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Afgav the Gomer, even if you have a son who's learning Nami Mitzvah Kavod, hitting him as a mitzvah, as we said, it's not as I said. I could give you a different pshat in the pasuk, that the pasuk is not speaking about Charisha Mitzvah, because the Torah speaks about Tzira and Charisha together. Ma Charisha, the Matzah Charish Ein Charish. Maf Tzira, the way Allah will be, Visal Gedat Mitzvah, Matzah Katzah Ein Katzah. The Gemara is saying that the Torah connects the Tzira and the Charisha. And by Harisha, indeed, the halacha is that if the field is already plowed, there is no specific mitzvah to plow the field to have it available for the Omer. But Katsir, if you have cut grain, you still have to cut the grain. And therefore, we could see from there that only Harisha the Rishus, or a mitzvah that's not obligatory, can be done, cannot be done on Shabbos, but something which is a full-fledged obligatory mitzvah, then the halacha is that it can be doicha Shabbos. The Gemara keeps on teaching us about being a parent punishing a child. Says Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, only a father who generally acts bahava, affectionately with his son, then has a right to hit his son. Because if the father always acts in such a kind fashion towards his son, if there'll be a situation where his father sees the need to hit his son, it'll be understood, the son will understand that he must have deserved it. But if the child doesn't have that relationship with the person who's hitting him, there's no right to hit him. That the Sefer HaKtanis says, the halacha ought to be that before a father hits a son, the father should have to go to Beis Din to ask permission to hit his son. Therefore, says the Hilchos Ketanis, the approach that if a father in the time of Chazal were to hit the son is he has to think to himself, if I would have gone to Beis Din, and would Beis Din have given me permission? If not, then you may not hit the mountain son. And the same, says the Hilchos Ketanis, the father has to analyze that he's not giving his son any more than he deserves. He's doing exactly what he needs. Ramosha writes that certainly Rav is not speaking about a well-behaved child. To just hit a well-behaved child for no reason is certainly prohibited. The Rav is referring to a child who misbehaved and should be disciplined, and then he improved his behavior on his own without punishment. That's where Rava says that even though the child is doing well now, but maybe since he did something that he shouldn't have been done, and we want him to remember that he shouldn't do that, that's when you're allowed to hit him. On the other sense, you may not. Hav goylai day, Ben says the Mishnah, if a father hit his son, then b'shoigi goes to the Ari Miklat. The Ben goylai day av. Similarly, if the son hit the father, he goes to Gilgal's. Hakol goyim aydei Yisrael. If anybody killed another Jew, b'shoigig, under the circumstances that we are discussing, there's Golas. Yisrael goyim aydeim. Chutz meger toshev. A ger toshev is an individual who's not Jewish and did not convert to Judaism, but he accepted upon himself that he's going to keep the Zayim mitzvah b'nei noyach. And what does he get for that? That even though Nochrim are not supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael, and Ger Toshev, once he accepted upon himself, and we'll speak about this more in Masechta Avodah Zarah, if a Ger Toshev accepted upon himself the Zayim mitzvah b'nei noyach, he may live in Eretz Yisrael. And if he kills another Jew, we'll speak about this more in the Gemara, even though he did it b'shoigig, he doesn't go to Golos, but rather he's killed. The Ger Toshev ain't a Goyle Elidei Ger Toshev. If somebody killed, if a Ger Toshev, the only case where a Ger Toshev will go into Golos is only when he killed somebody else, b'shoigig. And the Mechas Chanach says that the Golos of a Ger Toshev is different than the Golos of a Yisrael. We've been learning by a Yisrael, there are all sorts of categories when that the Yisrael is not considered a murderer. Since it's very different by a Ger Toshev, the rules of what apply to a Ger Toshev, says the Mechas Chinuch, are different. Says the Gemara, Ha'av goyla aydeya ben, ask the Gemara that if a father hits a son, he goes to Golos. But ask the Gemara, haven't we just learned in the previous Mishnah, Yotza Ava Makas Benai, if a father hits a son, he doesn't go to Golos. Vamrit, and ask the Gomer. Here we're not talking about a son that is deserving of getting hit. But says the Gemara, Va'amrit, haven't been learning, hasn't Rava been telling us that Afagav the mitzvah, the gomer, even if you have a son that is learning, still mitzvah covered to hit him? Says the Gemara, here we're not talking about a Torah learning, we're talking about Shulya the Nagri, where somebody's apprenticing. The father is teaching his son a profession, and there there's much more limited the amount that he may hit him. Says the Gemara, why is that a mitzvah? Shulya the Nagri, chiyusahi delamdei. Somebody who's teaching his son is teaching him a profession. And since, as the Gemara Masechta Kedushin teaches us, that every father is obligated to teach his son a profession, so he's doing a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Amish to speaking the Gemara Menusa Achrita, that the son already has a permission, has a profession, and therefore teaching him a profession now is not considered a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Ben Goyla Aidei Av, if a son, Rachmon Letzlan, killed a father, B'shagig, the son will go to Golis. Ask the Gemara, Vermini, the Pasuk says, Lo Nesham Kol Mak Nefesh B'shkaga, Mak Nefesh, we learn from here, Prat L'makov, if there's somebody killed a father, there is no Golis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Avkana, Loi Kasha. The way to reconcile the question between the Mishnah and the Braisa, Ha Rav Shimon, the Braisa that says that a son never goes to Golis for killing a father is the opinion of Rav Shimon, for Ha Rabbanan. Rav Shimon, and what is this based on? So we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin very extensively, Machloikas Rav Shimon de Chachamim, what is considered the harsher Misa. Rav Shimon Dama, Chenek Chamim Asayif. The punishment of Chenek is a more severe punishment than the punishment of Saif. A son who kills his father, B'mezid, is Chayiv Chenek. Because he's Chayiv Saif, like every murderer. And he's also chayiv chenek for killing his father. Then he'll get chenek because Rav Shimon holds that that's the more severe punishment. Says Rav Shimon, when is there halacha that somebody goes to Golis? Only in a case where shigig is sayif, where the punishment would have been sayif, which is not such a severe punishment as chenek. That's where Rav Shimon says that the Torah gives us an option of going to Golis and having that kapara. But Shigig HaSchanik is a much more harsher Aveira, holds Rav Shimon, and there is no option of Golis. And this is an important point. Golis is not a punishment. Golis is a kapara, it's an opportunity. And somebody who did a more severe Aveira doesn't get that opportunity. However, the Rabbanan Dami Saif Chomer Chenek, that Saif is more severe than Chenek, and certainly, if Shigigas Chenik has Golis, Shigigas Saif Nitel Kapara. Rav Amar, Rav has a different approach. Prat lo ois chabura ba'ovev b'shagig. If somebody met a chabura in his father, that he doesn't go to Golis, the sakadat chamina, kiva de b'mezim b'akatoluhu. Since if somebody kills his father, somebody wounds his father b'mezim, his chayiv misa. So if he wounds him, b'shoigig, it should be the equivalent to somebody killing somebody, b'shoigig, because that standard or that obligation by a father is different than everybody else. And maybe we would say that by a father, chabura, making a wound is the equivalent of killing another person, because they get the same punishment. Kamashmon, that golus is only for killing, not for anything else. Hakel golem de Yisrael, ask the Gemara, when the Mishnah said those words, Hakal Golem Ayde Yisrael Lasui Mai, says the Gemara Lasui Eved Vekuti. That Eved Kanani and Akuti, the Kutim we have often in Shas, were people that Sancheriv, his strategy was to mix up the entire world. And he brought people from Kuta to live in the Shomron. And then, because the Shomron at that time was desolate, he brought people, the lions were there. And the people, these Kutim, became Gerim out of fear. And there's a question throughout Shas, if Kutim Geri Emes, if they considered that Geris was sincere or not. Says the Mara, L'suya Eva V'kuti, Tanina L'ha D'Tanar Abonan, Eva V'kuti Goyle V'loka Yisrael, Says the Gemara. Let's understand this halacha. Bishlama, ever v'kutiv goyla de Yisrael, loika, the pasuk says, goyla, it's talking about a case where somebody katle, that the kuti or the evid killed a Jew b'shagig, and loika means that a case if he cursed another Jew using Hashem's name. El Yisrael goyla loika ide kuti, bishlama goyla, the case of goyla is that he killed the kuti b'shagig. El loika mai, what are you going to say that he, where's the case that he's going to get golas? You're going to suggest the lache, that the Yisrael cursed the kuti? But didn't we learn from Masechta Sanhedrin, that where is there a chiyah for cursing somebody else? By samas amcha. And the kutim, even if we'll say that their geiris was sincere, they didn't act like properly. So why would there be a chiyah? Elo amar of Yaakov, the case that you saw get Malkus, kigon shehayed boy, that a Jew said has edus that the kuti is chayiv Malkus, and then for Huzam, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, and because there's a loch v'sisim loik hashazam lasis lochiv, he gets the punishment that he wanted that the person should receive. That's why that Yisrael will get Malkus, says the Gemara. The kavasog gabe evid. What are we going to say by evid that he said testimony? That the Eved testimony, Shehed boy, the Eved said testimony about the Yisrael, Vahuzam, Astamar Eved by Edesu, Elamar Rav Nachman, Hok by Skinin, Kigoin Shekua, that the Yisrael hit the Kuti, or they hit the Yisrael, Hakosh Eber Shavaputa. They hit him, but the damages were not a Shavaputa. Domer Rabbi Abni Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he ko Hakosh Eber Shavaputa. If somebody hits somebody else, but the value of that damage is not even a Shavapruta, then you get Malkus. And loy makshina kol klola. Even though by a klola there's a locha, that if it's ena moisa masa amcha, there's no punishment, that doesn't give you a right to hit. And that's where there'll be, that's where there could possibly be a case where Yisroel will get Malkus, where he hit a kuti or an evid. It wasn't worth a Shavapruta, the damage, and that's where he'll get Malkus, and that was what the Braisa meant to say.